Hi, this is Patti LuPone.
This is Allison Janney.
This is Matt Ballmer.
This is Donna Murphy.
This is Nia Vardalos.
This is Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
This is Beanie Feldstein.
I'm Octavia Spencer.
This is Ben Platt, and you're listening to Little Known Facts with my favorite person on the planet, Alana Levine.
A-OK.
Welcome to Little Known Facts, a podcast where you will hear unfiltered, raw, honest, and uniquely funny interviews with artists you love as they talk about the art they love to make. I'm your host, Ilana Levine.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I heard you needed inspiration. He's Alana and friends with some revelations. Little known fact of the day. Every little thing's gonna be A-OK. A-OK.
Hey everyone, new episodes of Little Known Facts drop every Monday and you can find them on your favorite podcast provider. Also, if you go to the website, littleknownfactspodcast.com, you'll find behind-the-scenes photos, videos, and interviews, and lots more on the gallery page. And if you are loving these intimate, candid conversations with all the artists who come on the show, please head over to the contributions page. I depend on these donations to continue to bring you these interviews every week. So if you love the show, please donate. Little known fact about my guest today. She dated her co-star Sutton Foster's brother, Hunter Foster, while she was in college. Now she's on Younger. Welcome, Miriam Shore.
A-OK. A-OK.
My guest today is Miriam Shore. Miriam is an award-winning actress who has starred on television and film and stage. She burst onto the New York theater scene starring as Yitzhak, a Croatian drag queen in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and also reprised the role in the film version. She has done a gazillion movies. Some of those include Short Bus, The Cake Eaters, Puppy Love, That's What She Said, Five Flights Up, and Pounds. She currently stars on the TV show Younger, but has had starring roles on Damages, GCB, Royal Pains, The Good Wife, and the HBO miniseries Mildred Pierce. Her stage career included, of course, Hedwig, as I mentioned earlier, but also roles in Book of Days, Merrily We Roll Along, Mondo Drama, Almost Maine, Scarcity, The Wild Party, and most recently at the Public Theater, Sweat. She's the mother of two. She lives in New York. Welcome, Miriam Shore.
I'm so happy to be here.
I am so
happy to be here.
Say it one more time.
I'm so happy to be here.
Okay.
I am, though.
I am, too. She has tears in her eyes, my beautiful listeners. It's crazy, and
it's
we've just begun. I'm so happy. It has been a dream of mine to get uninterrupted time with you.
Wow.
So the fact that I have lured you into my podcast booth is just...
I like it.
It made me smart. It was a smart idea
on
my part.
It's smart to have a podcast.
Yeah.
You're also good at it. I heard your... interviews.
You know what? I am very lucky that everyone who has come into this room so far has been one of the most interesting people I know. So
well,
it's been
I'm hoping
it's been
to
good.
Stop that trend.
But as until today,
it all ended.
I don't
this very
know.
Moment.
Maybe today is the day the most interesting
probably.
Person came in the room.
Probably.
Maybe the funniest. Maybe the funniest. You know, the show is called Little Known Facts, and this may or may not be something people know about you, but you. I had a childhood that really is similar to most people I know, which is that you spent half your time in Italy and half your time in Detroit.
Yeah. Yep. So born in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yes.
Like you do.
Do you have a Midwestern accent when you want it?
Yeah, I do when I want. I kind of do that thing that my mom does that I find so annoying with her, but charming when I do it.
Yeah.
Like so many things where whoever I'm talking to, I start to talk like them.
That's actually, right.
Very annoying. So yes, I definitely can do. Oh, you know, I definitely have cousins and, you know, who talk
sure.
like that.
Sure.
And then
do.
You betcha. But then we moved to Venice, Italy when I was one. Ish. So my dad could.
I bet you remember that flight perfectly.
I was like, I'm done. It's cold here. Let's go to Venice, guys.
Mother.
I've read that it's so romantic. And my dad got a Fulbright to teach there as a professor. We went. It
dummy.
Was amazing.
What a dummy.
Such an idiot. My parents, not so bright. They're both like educators, brilliant. It's very annoying.
Well, now look at you.
You sort of can't measure up.
Yeah.
So I went off and just, I now play pretend for a living as opposed to teaching people and enhancing their minds. But so we went to Venice for a couple years and then we went to Detroit. Because we were like, ew, Venice, let's go to Detroit. Actually, I'm really proud to be from Detroit. I actually love being from Detroit.
I'm just curious, did he then get a job at a
Wayne State University? Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then my parents divorced a couple of years later, and my mom, who was not at all from Italy, was from Minnesota, but just loved it, was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go back. And they had joint custody, so my sister and I would spend 1 year with my dad in Detroit and 1 year with my mom. And she moved to Torino, Italy, also known as the Detroit of Italy.
Interesting.
Because that's where
the Detroit is the Torino of America.
Of America. That's, yeah. Everyone knows. I think there's actually a huge billboard as you drive
fact.
Into the downtown
Welcome
Detroit
to-
area.
But what is the age difference between you and your sister?
2 years.
She's also named Miriam, right?
Yes.
Just to make the story easier.
Yep. Her name's Miriam.
Miriam and Miriam.
We'll call it. Her name's Molly.
She's
blonde, tall. Her name is Molly Ann. I'm not blonde, not short yet not tall, named Miriam Ruth.
And is that somehow like representative of your parents?
Yeah, my dad,
histories?
Jewish, my mom, Irish Catholic, both of them not religious at all. So I like to say we're like Jewish.
Yeah.
And
that's why the word was, I feel like you coined that phrase.
Exactly, yeah, we're Jewish. It was, like I like gefilte
fish. You
were
either Jew, but then Miriam was like
Jewish. Exactly.
So you have the patent.
Yeah, exactly. I think so.
Are you so rich? Ish?
I'm rich-ish. Rich-ish. Rich in hope and friends.
You are,
it's really
my darling.
All that matters.
My darling. Rich in heart.
Yeah.
So how did that really work? Did you really go to school 1 year there, 1 year here?
Yeah, until I graduated from high school. It was great. I mean, look, I was weird. Shockingly, I know, to you. I was a weird kid anyway, I think. And it sort of gave you a reset button. And I'm sure it created a lot of problems for me.
Schizophrenia.
That, like, yeah, exactly.
Reset
like,
or bipolar.
Scared. Exactly. I say reset. You say bipolar. Tomato,
ish.
Tomato.
Bipolar-ish.
Bipolar-ish. Just a skosh of the bipolarism. I don't know. You know, when you're having a tough time, it's nice to know, like, if you're struggling socially, it's nice to know that there's other places in
I'm
the world.
Almost out.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And so that was nice. But also, it just gave me a sense that I could get up and go to other countries. Which
are you fluent in Italian?
Yeah, I am. Not
Prego.
Like I was. Prego,
si,
not
grazie,
like I was. I just went to Italy with my daughters.
And
my girls. And my husband. I call him my girl too. No. But we went to Italy for the first time this
pretty.
Summer.
You could.
It's gorgeous.
He's ridiculous.
You know what? He's a very attractive man. I do this with every man I know. I sort of picture them in drag.
The drag test.
Yeah. Well, I feel it's innate. I can't help it. And he
you wrote The
terrible.
Danish Girl. Didn't you write that script? You wrote it.
I actually lived. I am the Danish.
You are the
girl.
Wait.
In that I really love Danish.
I love a good Danish.
I love the Danish girl, like a cherry Danish. No, but he would not make a good drag queen. And I love him with all my heart, but he's even made
But in earlier dating situations in your life, would that be sort of like a litmus test? Like, how would he look in
No, it
Givenchy?
Wasn't a judge. It wasn't like if he isn't a good drag queen, it's a no-go. It was just more like, what would that look like?
Hmm.
You know, because there's some men that you're like, oh, that would be very successful.
Right.
And there's some men that you're like, that brow is real heavy and that jaw's real square. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough for us. And then there's some that you're like, I have no idea until we try it.
Well, now that you have two little ones of your own, when you think back to your own childhood and sort of the flip-flopping of cultures and families and education systems and languages and parents, can you imagine that?
I can't imagine not being with my girls for a long period of time. That would be
right.
I mean, I could go like a week. That'd
right.
be okay. I could
well,
take
that we're gonna be in this podcast booth for about that long.
But no,
we have a
I,
lot to catch up on.
I think I love raising them in New York because that's about as close as you can get to kind of doing that without actually doing that. So many different cultures, you can just kind of go to a different area or walk across the street and, you know, you hear people speaking different languages and different cultures. And I love that. And that's important to me. I would love to live in a different country so that they could experience that. I feel like it's so important to understand that like a country is not a real thing. It's a construct that we came up with to feel safe and to feel whatever we need to feel, but it's not real.
I saw Hamilton, and I just want to say I'm an expert now in our country's history, and it is actually a country.
Is it?
It is.
No, it's not. It's a concept.
So that's interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, no, actually? I mean, it's something we created. Like when the dinosaurs were here, they weren't like, so here we are in America, guys. This is North America. This is the United States.
But if Lin-Manuel Miranda had decided that actually Jefferson was like a dinosaur, we would all think that.
There's no doubt in my mind that he could write a musical about a dinosaur that we would all pay $2,000 a ticket.
So at some point, whether it was in Italian or in English, you must have realized I can sing really well.
I have kind of a weird thing about thinking I can sing, which is that I auditioned for the musical theater program at Michigan, University of Michigan, and did not get in. And then I auditioned again and also then did not get in. After the second time I auditioned, I didn't get in. I had a counselor sit me down and be like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. Here's a seminal moment. I saw my sister in Hello, Dolly in high school. She played Irene Malloy.
In America.
In the America.
Okay.
She was jaw-droppingly awesome in my memory's eye, and I probably for real. And I was just like, oh, like that's, you can do that? And that's amazing. Wow. Okay.
I'm going to try some of that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the woman who played Dolly was just like the perfect high school performance. So that was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. I'll do shows in high school. But I didn't know.
But did you do shows in high school?
I did, yeah. I did a children's theater thing. And this is the story of my life. I wanted to be Dorothy. And I was sure. I was like, this is it, guys. I got this. Like, I am Dorothy. And you will never guess who I ended up playing.
Toto.
Oh, that would have been a better story. No, the Wicked Witch, of course. Yeah, sure.
But well, that's a great part.
It is, but it's the story.
Don't you love when they try to convince you that, oh my God, the witch is the part.
The witch, listen.
Did you say Wizard of Oz? Listen to me.
She's green. No, but I thought that, oh, I want to be a Dorothy, and the universe was like,
nope.
But it's so the story of my career then, not in a bad way, in a good way.
Like, well, it was the story of your career. I mean, I don't know that people who know you now would think of you as someone like always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Like, you have done unbelievably fantastic parts that are leads.
But they tend to be the character-y part, which I don't actually mind. There's a lot of pressure to be charming and winsome when you're the lead, certainly in like a television show.
That's
you
right.
know? And
that's right.
I don't know how to play charming and winsome, clearly.
But when I think of, and we're skipping around, but when I think of GCB, all of you, I mean, that was a true ensemble of women.
Fun.
Really fun.
And
we can talk about the idea of my Jewish friend starring as like a Christian.
Finally,
gospel.
I mean, look, I wanted to play a Southern belle for so long. I mean, I played a man. I was
right.
Like, clearly I could play someone who is,
I can't wait to get to that, because really when I say that show, I was lucky enough to be in New York City and attend an early performance of Hedwig at the Jane Street Theater. I remember I knew John Cameron Mitchell even before that, and I remember bumping into him in a cafe. There weren't even Starbucks yet at the time, and I was like, "What are you working on?" And he was telling me about, like, I have this concept for this thing, and he started telling me about it. And I was like, "Well, that's not going anywhere."
Well, I did the workshop of it. That was my first audition that I got an agent.
Well, how did that happen? You went to college. You did not get into the musical theater program.
I did, which was great, which worked out great for me, because it sort of made me kind of realize that I wanted to be an actor. I didn't want to – not that there's anything wrong with musical theater. There are actors as well. But it forced me to kind of find my own way in my career, and also to believe in myself when people didn't believe in me, which is actually all that being an actor is.
So you get out of school, and like, what do you do?
Lucky enough that I had a professor ask me if I wanted to do a play, a professional play, and get my equity card.
In his room, in his bedroom.
And I said yes, and it was a weird play, a lot of role playing. No.
Wait, really?
No,
like, while you're still in college?
Still in college.
Are they allowed to do that?
Asked if the bedroom one or the...
No,
no, like, yeah. Oh,
you...
Yeah, yeah. He said, I'm going to do this play, and you can get your equity card in the summer, you know, like a summer
awesome.
Stock. And I was like, sure. So I went and I got my equity card, and that was the first time someone paid me. It was like $200 for the week.
That's amazing.
And I was flabbergasted. I was like, they will pay you money to
do what
this.
I love more than anything in the world.
I did not know. I think up to that moment, I was still thinking, well, I'm going to be an actress, but obviously I have to continue on with my
right.
education.
What's
to
my
get
career going to be?
And I'll be a professor and I'll just do that because that's what I know I can do. Came to New York. My dad drove me in a Subaru Justy. All my crap fit in milk crates, which I kept. I kept those milk crates until I got married and moved in with my husband. And he was like, so these,
Miriam.
Like, these can go.
Because no,
we have shelves.
Nope. No, they
and
can't.
And I was like, but where will I put my shoes? In maybe like on a shelf or in a closet.
Nope.
Well into my 30s before I got rid of those.
Old habits die
it
hard.
It was just, yeah, it's hard for me to throw away things. So came here. I had a lot of friends who were actors who came here. It was kind of that was what was great.
Was that a BFA program?
Yes.
Did you do ERTAs after undergrad or any kind of auditioning
they
for
did
the
not,
real world?
They did not have a showcase, that type thing, for theater.
Okay.
I believe they just did their very first one, like, this year.
That's exciting.
For theater. Musical theater did, but street theater did not. So, no, I came and my friend got me a job at Pizzeria Uno's. I mean, I had a connection
Pizzeria
with a lot of people. So
yeah.
I had a sublet that I was...
And mozzarella sticks day and night if you wanted
you know,
them.
It was don't...
Don't knock it.
Don't knock it, really. I mean, I was a terrible waitress.
Were you?
My last day waiting tables, someone grabbed me and said, look, I know it's your first day. So, and you're doing great. But I just want to remind you that you bring the drinks first.
Okay.
That really actually happened on my very last day of waiting tables.
Oh.
And I was like, yep, my first day. You're getting free nachos.
Well.
Because I'm so bad.
First of all, maybe that's how they did it. But in my house, just by the way, my dad would be like, if you still want a Coke after you eat your meal, I will order it for you.
Wow.
So that was his way of like not having us drink bad soda, even though it was a restaurant. We would see people all around us
but
having
like,
sodas
surely,
and it looked delicious.
Surely water.
Surely water.
Surely
but
water
you don't have
is
to
something
order
you bring.
Bread and water. To this day, if I see bread and water on my table, I know I'm at a nice dining establishment.
I know.
I've arrived.
You know, I get annoyed when I'm like, I don't have anything at my table. I have to order everything.
Also, like, I'm sorry. Do you think I am not eating carbs? Who do you take
me
for?
I know.
No, no, no. Bring the... I know my friend said she didn't want the bread. Please don't assume.
Yeah. When they're like, did you want bread? I'm like, did you just call me fat? Because give me bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, now I want... No. In fact... Keep it coming.
Yeah, exactly.
My grandmother used to, when we would visit her in Florida and really do the early bird special at a restaurant called Wolfie's. Literally, by 6 o'clock, we'd be asleep. And I'd be sneaking
it
out.
It sounds
like,
really good to me. Is that weird?
Have it
I crossed,
is really
I've crossed
good.
A line now.
I know. I could sleep all the time. That's all I want to do. But she would just like, they would have like the saltine crackers, breadsticks, and rolls, and little butter pads. Mm-hmm. And the guy would bring it, and then he'd go away, and my grandmother would have a big bag. She'd dump it all in, and then he'd come back like a second later. It was almost like, wait a minute.
I love your grandma
so much. And
she
would just look at him like, could we get some more?
We'd like more bread, please.
And we'd have delicious turkey sandwiches the next day on the same bread.
Why? Why not?
Why
That's
not?
There for the taking. I'm with your grandma 100%.
If it's not nailed down to the table.
I would have been your grandma would not have liked me.
Because you
She'd
brought
like, what
nothing.
What is wrong with that waitress? She brought us nothing.
She brought us the check.
Do you know what I would do? I would walk up and be like, have they not come? This is totally true. Have they not come to your table? They would come to your table? Oh, you know what? Let me get you guys. And I'm going to give you some free nachos, too. That is really wrong. What did you guys want to order? And pretend like that was not my table.
You pretended you were all manager styles.
I pretended.
You were literally like
I was
I'm
helping
sorry.
Them out.
Katie! Katie!
Because I'd be like, oh, I should have got to go to that table. It's been like half an hour. I know. And I didn't have that skill set.
You did have improv skills.
I had improv skills.
You
and
really
I used
did.
Those.
So you
me.
Come to New York. You have a friend. You
I
live
friend,
with
I
them.
Get a sublet,
you have a
I,
job.
I get a
You're
job.
Bad at it. Thank God you got an agent somehow.
Well, no, my very first day, I had my equity card. So I went to the equity office on my first day.
Just walking around.
I was like, where do we go with this? Hello?
You're all like
my dad
Norma
came
Ray.
With me. We walked up to the equity office, and then I saw they were having auditions for Fiddler on the Roof.
One of my favorites.
And I was like, well, I could audition for the chorus of that. So I signed my little name. Ish. Exactly. That's really all musical theater wants. Yes. We don't really want you to be Jewish. We want you to be Jewish.
Yes.
It's musical theater.
Yes.
I signed up for the chorus audition and I got Jew number 3, third from the left.
In what production?
In the national tour of Fiddler on the Roof.
Who was the Tevye and who was the
Theodore Bacall?
Are you kidding me?
I am not Teddy. Yeah, I know.
Who was Golda?
I could not tell you. It's terrible. There were several Goldas, and they were all wonderful, but I'm old.
She was on One Day at a Time. She played.
No, I mean, I would remember that. No.
Yes.
They were, I mean, they were, you know, it was like, I was weak, and I didn't get it for like a couple months. For some reason, they didn't let us know.
Or, well, that's
a you know what they
part.
Told, I understudied Huddle, the pretty one. No, I don't know. But for some reason, I don't know if you've seen the movie and you watch any production of it.
She's like Christie Brinkley. They're
always like, she's not going to look Jewish, this one.
No.
We're going to make her. But I understand her. And,
Brett Girl auditions to the right. And while you're at it, if you could just step in. Can you carry a tune?
Exactly. It was strange. But I did that. And that didn't start for a couple months. I worked at Pizzeria Uno's. No health insurance, no money, ate like smoothies, cereal, and pizza every day. And then like they were like, okay, so your job starts in September. And it was like May. And I went to the manager and was like, I quit in September, but I'll be here until then because I need money.
But I do.
So please pay me $4. But that was $2 an hour is what I got.
A thrilling start.
It was. And the first place we went, Detroit. I know.
The Fox?
The Fisher.
The Fisher Theater.
So where I saw Annie when I was 6. You know what I mean? Like where I saw my first like musicale. It was very thrilling and exciting. And even though I didn't have any lines and was in the back and
Did you have fun?
I had a great time. Yeah, I was the youngest one and I didn't know that touring sucked.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, well,
and they paid
like,
you so much money.
Totally, totally.
I had no debt. I didn't have any strings. I just like went. It was a year and a half of I did 500 performances of Fiddler on the Roof. So if I wasn't Jewish before.
You were now.
I certainly was.
So then you come back and then let's get to Hedwig.
So yeah. So I got an agent because someone in Fiddler, who was my friend, was like, go see my agents and read for them. You're funny and whatever. And I did. And they were like, we'll send you out on a few things. And then the first thing they sent me out on was the workshop of Hedwig.
So,
and I was like, what?
How did you know what to do with that?
I didn't. I still have the slip that I wrote the audition down on. It said Hedwig and the Angry Itch.
I knew that's what it should have been called.
Because my agent told me that's what it was called.
Right.
Hedwig and the Angry Itch. Croatian ex-drag queen, billed as last Jewess of the Balkans, Yitzhak, that was the character, man to be played by a woman. Bring like a pop song. So I wore a Fonzie for President t-shirt that I stole from my roommate and like a do-rag and big boots and showed up and decided I was going to sing You Light Up My Life, which I did not know but was the last song, used to be the last song in the show in German.
So,
I didn't know that. So I came
you
singing
intuited,
that song.
Right, like this was meant to be.
Apparently. And then I went in and didn't know. They didn't know what it was. Like we didn't.
Did you
know.
Do an accent? Did you?
Yeah,
do,
I just figured like Slavic.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't really know what Croatian is.
Yeah,
but I had been to Slovenia to visit a refugee camp and bring supplies when I was like, yeah, I know, with my mom, and because it's very close to Italy. And so, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't know what it was. They didn't really know exactly what it was. They didn't know what Yitzhak was going to be. They kind of just wanted someone to move furniture around the
right.
set while he was singing.
Yes.
And so they're like, well, it would be good if it could be a girl so that she could sing backup and we could just fuck with the gender
So the relationship that develops between you or the like the backstory and the onstage story and the animosity and sort of all of the stuff that goes on between you and Hedwig, was that developed during a workshop? Is that something John sort of had an idea?
He definitely had an idea. I mean, he wanted the oppressed to be the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, you know, the beneficiary of that oppression.
Right.
And
did you ever get your feelings hurt playing that character?
It's funny. There were certain moments where I just felt like I was Yitzhak. Like they would forget to tell me that we were all meeting somewhere. You know what I mean? I would just be like, oh,
you mean
course.
The gang? Like
yes,
the gang,
exactly.
Stephen Trask and the footwear.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was the only girl, like within, you know, I was so there was an otherness to it that wasn't bad, but definitely helped sort of me feel like I was the underdog and helped me kind of access those. But also I, as I said, was a weird person growing up. So I had that naturally to feel, you know. And what was great was I don't naturally go to anger as my sort of first go-to emotion about all of those things. Well, now maybe I do, but I didn't. But Yitzhak, I could sort of through Yitzhak just be pissed, you know, and allow that and understand that. And that was great.
You know, if listeners who weren't fortunate enough to see it, go online. Miriam is the most beautiful.
That's not true.
Boy, you were so beautiful.
You know what's interesting?
That's not true.
It's interesting.
I wasn't saying you're beautiful now.
No, no,
I'm saying
no.
As a boy.
No, you know what's funny?
You're gorgeous, too, but you were beautiful.
I can easily admit that I'm a good-looking guy. I cannot say that I'm a good-looking woman. That's America
well,
for you.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you are an incredibly beautiful woman. But I remember seeing you and just thinking, like, Jared Leto.
Thank you.
You look exactly like him.
I was like, I look like Jordan Catalano, y'all. Like, I do. If he was from Croatia and didn't bathe.
And had a do-rag
and was kind of greasy. And then I got really excited when he did that movie where he was going to be in drag. And I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
And he looked nothing like me.
No.
Very disappointing.
But you look like him not in drag.
Yeah.
When he is not in drag.
And he's a handsome fellow.
He's beautiful in his eyes. Anyway, you were beautiful. What year was that when you
that
first
was 90,
did it in,
workshop
in
was
earnest?
90, the workshop was 97. And then we were at the Jane Street in February of 98, I think,
okay.
That's where we opened.
I remember that you were wearing a Rent shirt.
Yes.
So Rent had happened.
Yeah, oh,
my
yeah,
sense
yeah.
of time gets really skewed because I'm 100
Rent
years
was
old,
like in
so it's hard to remember.
94 or 5.
And that starred Theodore Bacall in Rent.
Theodore Bacall was the lead. He
yes,
played Mimi.
I remember that now.
It was that was the workshop, and they felt
yes.
like they needed to go a different way.
And
so
then
Daphne
they did.
Went in
and then Daphne
after.
Came in.
Daphne came
so
in for Theodore Bacall.
What was, because I feel like at that time, Rent was sort of this, you know, a few years prior, Rent had been this frenzy.
Yeah, I was
of
all
like,
about Rent when it came out.
Yeah. I was the standing room only girl. And then I've mentioned to people that when Anthony Rapp then ended up being the Charlie Brown in my production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
I saw your production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
I literally, like,
it was wonderful.
Every night I was like, Charlie Brown, Cohen. Like, I literally couldn't even believe. Like, no, you don't understand. 5 minutes ago, I was standing
I was
room
like
only.
Yeah.
I was sleeping on the street outside your show.
Yeah.
And so when you see me sleeping outside your dressing room in the theater that
don't
we share,
it's
what I'm used to.
Yeah, exactly. It's just how
it's
I relate to you.
What I know. And he would sometimes warm up with Mark Cohen songs, and I'd be like, you have to stop. This is too
that
much
was
for
not,
me.
When was Charlie Brown? 97?
Right after 99 to 2000.
Oh,
so
okay.
Literally, Rent closed. He left Rent. Rent never closed.
Yeah,
he left the
open.
Broadway production. He went to do it in London. And then he auditioned for Charlie Brown. I don't know that he had to audition. He had a conversation about Charlie Brown while he was in London and then started up with us right after.
Wow. I loved that. You guys were all like a revelation. That was one of those things where...
Yeah, that's how people think of that show.
Revelatory. It is. It was, though. First of all, BD being the character that he was, that
yes,
was revelatory.
BD is Linus, yes.
Little Miss Chenoweth, which you were like, what is that that's
Everybody
happening
stop.
On the stage?
What? Wait.
What is going on right now?
Because I think she's playing a character named Sally Brown.
Yeah,
but
you,
she's going to change
and
the
then
world.
You, I was particularly like fond and of you because you were playing the character that I auditioned
yes,
for that. Yeah, and
yes.
And I thought you were. I just thought it was like, I thought it was something that was brilliant, and I was like, I could aspire to it. You know, like I would go see Les Mis and be like, wow, those people who have nothing to do with me are on stage singing
and going around
in circles. So I'll never be there. But
absolutely. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, because that was the kind of charm of what Michael Mayer did with that production. But to go back to you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, back to me, please.
I
love that, by the way, you also agreed that I look like, I can't even call him by his name, Jordan Catalano. I always said that.
I call him Jared. But
sure.
you can call him by his character name if you so desire. JL. You did. You were really beautiful. And I just really had never seen anything like that before in my life. I had never seen that winning combination of drag, pathos, levity, song, rock and roll. It was a really one-of-a-kind experience.
I, of course, am older now, of course. And I wish I could go back and throttle her a little bit and be like, hey, like, really notice what's happening. I enjoyed it, though. I didn't take it for granted. Like, I was having a great time, you know, during that whole thing.
And you got to do what doesn't always happen, which is when it became a film, you went with it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's probably also because the role was, like, all of us just made it all up. So it was so interesting then you know, watch someone else do it. Because then you're like, oh, it's a thing.
It just happened again with one like Neil Patrick Harris and then Andrew Reynolds and Lena Dunham as
Lena Hall. Lena Dunham could do it.
Lena could do anything. Lena Hall, who I just saw sing from It at a Benefit. And she
she has a voice that you're like, well, that's not human to do.
And then she seemed really nice. And I was like, screw that.
She'll do this. The sound will come out of her face. And then she'll be like, yeah. And then she'll talk like she's a normal person.
She'll be like, I'm not in great voice today.
And you're like, you're not a normal. No, normal people can't do that with their face and voice. That doesn't happen.
Well, was there, forgive me for asking, this might be the question that makes you cry. Don't mean to. I can't imagine you could have done it schedule-wise. Did you think about doing it again?
You know, I told John that if he, first of all, they talked about doing it years and years, every year we're going to do it, every year. And it never happened. And so then, you know, I remember
Stop toying with me.
I know. It was like, if you do it, I will do it. I wasn't as interested in doing it if John wasn't doing it. I was like, well, let it be a new, new thing.
That would almost be weird.
Right. So I wasn't into doing it. But when he came into it, I did, and I was in the middle of, when Younger started and I was in the middle, I most likely could not have done it. But I said to him, like, if you want me to do a couple weeks or whatever, I will come in and do it. But they were like, no, that's all right.
But you are welcome to come. We will get you a staff rate ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to come see
it. I was
it
a little
again.
Bit like, what, really? I think that people would come. I mean, like, there's a 2-week period where people would come see me do it. But, you know, there weren't very many theater pieces about the Berlin Wall, which in our lives was a huge deal.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
I have a little piece of it.
I do, too.
My sister Wen brought it back for me. All I got was a little piece. I really just have a T-shirt.
By the way, she could have just picked it up outside on the street and been like, this is a piece of the Berlin. You wouldn't know.
No, she would never do that to me. Would she? Could you imagine? So after Hedwig, were you ever unemployed again? Because when I look at your IBDB, IMDB, and playbill.com.
Which is wrong and says I'm 5'8" and I'm 5'6". I just want to, and you can't
Liar.
Change it. By the way, you can't change it.
And it's wrong for me, too. It says I'm 50-something and I'm not.
It says I'm 45 and I'm 30.
I'm 30. 31. I am, have you seen the show Younger? That is my story. In reverse.
I've been fooling you all. I'm only 24.
That's what's so crazy. The boss is really younger than...
That's going to be the reveal in season 9, is that they're going to be like,
wait a minute.
Miriam Shore's character is only 27.
Spoiler alert!
And everyone will be like, nope, we can't.
Okay, but you were on like TV show after TV.
Well,
like,
here's what happened.
Swing Town and this one and that one.
Hedwig, and that got people interested in meeting me and letting me come to their auditions.
And then you were a woman and they were like, what?
I would walk in almost for a good year. I would walk in and people would have this look on their face like, I was like, not a ginormous man? No, I'm not. John is 2 feet tall.
Yes, he's diminutive.
And weighs 80 pounds.
In fact, he's in my palm right now.
He's in my pocket right now. I have him. Here you go. John, say hi.
Hi, John.
So I looked like I was 17 feet tall and weighed 700 pounds. And so when I would walk in and, you know,
I'm
just like a normal sized person. They would be like, oh, and look like a woman. Like, okay, a pretty woman. You know? Mm-hmm. They'd be like, oh. So it was kind of good because it was always like a positive. They'd be like, oh, well, just look at her. Wow. But then they might have.
Connie, come in here. Do you remember your talk?
She's adorable. Do you remember that? Oh, my. She's not mannish. Well, man-ish.
But yeah. Let's patent that. Man-ish.
But yeah, so I was like, well, what do you do after you do Hedwig? You do the workshop, you do the play, and then you get to do the movie, and it was like a whirlwind, and we went to Sundance, and it was so great.
It was huge.
I did a series of terrible sitcoms. That's what I did. I would do a pilot, and it would get picked up, and then I would kill it. And then I would do another pilot, and it would get picked up, and I would kill that one. So I did that for a while.
Did you start feeling, like, successful?
Oh, I thought you meant like it was my fault and then I killed
it. No. That goes without saying. Yeah.
No, it's definitely my fault and that's what I felt.
You're a TV show killer.
No, I don't think... Does anybody feel successful as an actor?
I think there might be moments where you can, in secret, in your house with the lights out, in your bathroom, with a door locked so no one ever can know this is happening, have one moment where you go, this might not have been like such a crazy idea.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we've talked about I'm Jewish, so my way of saying that is like, okay.
They haven't found out yet I'm Jewish.
No one's... they haven't found out yet.
Did you have to audition for any of the TV shows that you did?
Oh, I auditioned for all of them. I maybe got a guest star once or that I didn't have to audition for. But yeah, no, even younger, which was Darren Starr, who did GCB, I still had to come in and test for it. Mm-hmm. He asked me to come test for it. So that's like I got to bypass the initial rounds of auditions.
In some ways, though, that can be even more nerve-wracking.
Yeah, you're like, oh, great, I'm going to let you down, and this is going to suck. I didn't even have a chance to prove myself. I actually don't mind auditioning. I mean, auditioning is awful because you put yourself through hell and you have to do your hair and makeup. That's the worst. If you could somehow if you could skip that two-hour process...
And just show up
like, you know, guys do.
Yeah.
Oh, I get so mad at
them. I don't know. I've seen a lot of gentlemen lately with what I've been calling Mac for men. So
very
And
high.
By the way, may I use that?
And can I borrow it?
By the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true. I mean, obviously men have to get ready too, but not quite in the same. I mean, I'm like, it's a full drag show whenever I have to really do.
Luckily, I do a podcast where that's been the greatest joy of this. Every once in a while, they'll want to film the podcast, you know, they're like, it's really good when you put these interviews up on YouTube. And I'm like, I don't think you understand when I say I don't want to be seen.
You should have an animator come in and do like an awesome, weird animation of it. Yes. I would watch that.
So when you were auditioning.
What it is that whatever my magic is that gets it picked up and then kills it dead, like the killing it part.
You are very powerful.
I'm incredibly powerful. Sutton Foster's power and Trump charm is just much stronger.
That's great. The alchemy there was important.
Yeah, she...
Do you love her?
Yeah. I've known her. I went to college with her brother, Hunter Foster.
Okay.
And we dated briefly because he was a straight man in musical theater. So
little known fact. Be a straight man in musical theater.
Yeah, that's your ticket.
End of story. And, say no more.
But yeah, but we're friends. And so I knew her and she was like that wunderkind who like was 17 and was doing it. You know, and but I didn't know her until we started doing this. And she's ridiculous. She's fantastic and talented and nice and real and charming. And you're a little bit like, do you have like a pile of severed heads in your closet?
Yeah, that we I don't know about? So.
Because how is that possible? I'm very funny and self-deprecating. And this job, younger, I would always say, like, I just want to do a job in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to work too hard.
Right.
So we do 12 episodes. I can't kill it. I think what they did is they were like, look, Miriam's in the show. We want the show to run.
Right.
So if we make
Give
the show
less.
Less than 13 from the get-go, she can't kill it.
We'll be okay.
Because it's already ending
I
after 12 episodes.
I love that you are the TV show killer.
That is
your hashtag.
Yeah. I'll kill your TV show. I will get you seen and then killed.
Do you have an audition from your past, maybe your distant past or not so distant past, that at the time you thought I have to kill myself, but now
every
it's
audition.
Funny.
First of all, yeah, I have many of those. But something I do at almost every audition is when the audition's over, it could have gone poorly, it could have gone well, whatever. I decide that like I'm going to be charming. It's a terrible idea. Don't ever decide you're going to be charming. And because that's not something you can decide.
So whether it's like
that's something someone
a Holocaust
else decides. Someone
play
else decides
or
you're
comedy.
Charming.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I'm
going to
be charming. We're going to be friends. Me and whoever is in the room with me. We're going to be friends. I'm going to delight them with some tale or other. Mm-hmm.
And do you plan it?
No, it just happens. I just need
it's
that.
It's a gift.
And I just need to do that.
Okay.
And so I do it. Let's have a dinner party. Do you want to get a like everything's going
it's
well?
All
and
happening.
Then that's when. In my head, there's the voice that's like, all right, get out, go,
mm-hmm.
go, 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 run,
don't
run,
even
run,
read.
Run. And then the other voice is like, no, 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 no. Like, we're really good friends now.
Right.
And so I'm going to hang out because we're friends. And then it starts to be like.
You mean I'm going to hang out and stay
we're
and actually
talk.
Read whatever material?
We're gonna, I'm going to make this is going to be the greatest moment. Mm. And then it starts to go wrong. And they're like, gosh, I really want her to leave. And I
and
haven't.
Still there.
And I'm still there. And then I just can't stop talking. And it's really, truly, this happens to me every audition. And then the voice is like screaming in my head, like, get out! And then my husband's voice is in there too. And he's like, we've seriously talked about this. And then like friends are like, get.
Your little girls have their arms around you. You're like, mommy, stop.
So then I'm like, and then I see it slipping away. And I'm like, no, I can get it. I can get it back. I can get it back. I can try harder and be more desperate. Then they will like me more. which always works. I think sure. desperation is how you
the
get friends.
The best jobs were gotten that way.
Yes.
And I smell something? That's Miriam's desperation.
Yeah, and we need to get her out of here.
Yeah.
And I can't. And then it just, then it goes really bad. And then I just limp out of the room and want to shoot myself. So that's every audition.
That's good to know.
My favorite audition where I was wanted to kill myself, but I was also like, this is going to be such a good story. Like,
great.
I can't wait to see how much further this goes.
And here we are.
I auditioned for something that Twyla Tharp was choreographing. I am not a dancer.
Okay.
I'm a terrible, not good. I can get down if I'm a little drunk.
Sure.
But no one wants to pay to see it ever. So I had said, like, I'm not, like, I don't, do not dance. Like, no, you would be singing and this is just a sing for her.
Just an actress who moves.
So I'm like, I don't even move. Like, can I just sit in a chair? So I sang for her and she's very acerbic and scary and everything you would hope that Twyla Tharp would be. And then she was like, good, I want you to come back and sing with Willem Dafoe.
Not
course.
Again.
And I was like, oh, Willie.
Another and, Tuesday.
And I was like, great, I'll come sing with Willem Dafoe because mm-hmm. that's great. And he doesn't really think of himself as a singer or didn't at that time. So he was a little nervous, which was great because then you're like, yeah, I got this. We're good. I'm going to make you not nervous. We're going to have fun. Great. They're like, great, that went great. So now she wants you to come to her house, Twyla Tharp's house, and dance in her living room with the top male dancer from American Ballet Theatre.
Perfect. Exactly what you said
and I was
you
like,
wanted
this
to
can't,
do.
First of all, absolutely not. And second of all, absolutely. Like, no, but absolutely, yes.
Sure.
So I go to Twyla Tharp's apartment, and she has a dance studio in her home. Beautiful.
Oh, my God, I do, too. That's so weird.
And I was like, well, no, okay, at least this feels comfortable
she's
for me.
She's my people.
I got one, too. And there she is. So she's like, I'm just going to choreograph a little dance. And I was like, no, this can't. Wow. Okay. Sure. But she would only shout her choreography at me and the top male dancer from ABT in our pas de deux in French. So she was like shouting at us what we were supposed to be doing in French. And I was like, well, I know a little French, but I don't know what that is in dance world. And then he would be like, okay, quickly, like do this, like do what I'm doing. And I'd be like, so that was one of my favorite auditions. I didn't get it, the role. I didn't.
You're kidding.
No, I didn't. It was shocking.
So now that you're in this show on TV land and live in TV, where is TV land?
I have no idea.
Do you need a passport?
First of all, TV land is a magical land where you get to do a show in New York City with your friends and Darren Star and they pay you money and you don't have to work that hard. That's where TV land is.
I am so happy that you were here today. I'm so sad that you ever won't be next to me now for
no,
the
I'm
rest
gonna be
of my
your
life.
Robin to your, right? I'll be the annoying laugh in the background when you do your podcast.
Let's do it. You could be my Andy Richter.
That's how, I'll be your Richter. That sounds like something that a proctologist would use.
No, I want you to come in and we can like interview people together and laugh. And the guests would just sit there like, are they going to ask us anything? Okay. They seem to really be enjoying each other quite a bit.
Isn't that what a podcast? I don't know. I mean,
look it up. That's what a podcast is. I just want to say thank you.
Oh,
thank you for coming
thank
in.
Thank you for thinking I'd be interesting.
Just, I have one favor to ask. Please, by being here, don't kill my podcast.
No, I won't.
Just don't kill it.
Yeah, I should have come here with Sutton Foster.
Yeah.
Damn it.
We'll get her in next.
Yeah.
Next time.
You should.
All right. Tune in next when we have Sutton Foster.
On to save her show.
Sutton for the president. All right. We're done. Bye.
Clouds can make the wind blow. Bugs can make the grass grow. So there you go. These are little known facts that now you know.
If you want more information about my guests, go to the website littleknownfactspodcast.com. I also wanted to tell you that there is now a new addition to the website. It is a button that says contributions. This podcast is a true labor of love, and I really, really want to keep doing it for a long time. So if you like listening as much as I love to do it, please feel free to contribute. It would mean the world to me. Also, on Twitter, you can find me at Alana Levine. Instagram is Little Known Facts Podcast, and on Facebook, Little Known Facts Podcast. You can also feel free to rate and review the show on the iTunes show page. This podcast is recorded at Hangar Studios in New York City. This episode was brought to you by Pro Media, located in Times Square. ProMedia offers both production and post-production services out of its beautiful studios in the heart of New York City. ProMedia, sound vision. Find out more at promedia.nyc.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.